up to you and me to shine a guiding light and lead the way. United by our cause, we have the power to pursue what we believe. We'll achieve the realization of our dreams.
Hello and welcome to this edition of New Horizons, the weekly program from Blind Citizens Australia. I'm Vaughan Bennison. Thanks for joining me. This week in the program, we have a very special guest. Porrick Nocton is going to talk to us about his experience of blindness and vision impairment, not in Australia, but in another country. Porrick, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Why don't you start by telling us about yourself and where you're from?
Vaughan, I'm from Ireland. I'm a place called Ballinasloe in the west of Ireland originally, but I spent most of my growing up years in Dublin.
Dublin's the capital of Ireland, of course.
It is, yes. And when I was growing up, was also the centre for visually impaired and blind children to go to school from all over the country. So at the age of 4.5, I moved to Dublin for my education.
Now, it's interesting you should say that. One of the first things that that I notice is that you say visually impaired, whereas in Australia we say vision impaired. And I think we went through a stage of saying visually impaired for a while, but for some reason it's changed, all very PC.
Oh my God, it kind of really irritates me, I'm sorry.
Me too.
I'm kind of thinking of going back to being partially sighted because, you know, it kind of does exactly what it says in the tin. Even the school I went to, which was called St. Joseph's, when I started there, it was St. Joseph's School for the Blind. Then it became St. Joseph's School for Partially Sighted Boys. Then it became Visually Impaired. And now it's called Child Vision. Now, mind you, in the 1870s, it was called St. Joseph's Asylum for Male Industrious Blind. I think in Ireland, the services use vision impaired. But in fact, a lot of people who are blind or visually impaired would actually use that language. The other thing I notice of recent years in speaking to the National Council for the Blind, which is our kind of national service, they now call themselves NCBI so that they don't have to mention the blind word. And they also tell me that they now use NCBI providing services to people with sight loss, because they are finding that a lot of older people who acquire a visual impairment or become blind do not like the term blind. It makes them feel very uncomfortable and they're not availing of services as a result. So that's kind of why the language is moving the way it's moving.
Mm. It's interesting because when I grew up in New Zealand, we were blind and partially sighted.
Yeah.
And when I came to Melbourne in the mid-80s, we were blind and partially blind. And then we were visually impaired and now we're vision impaired. I think I managed to skip the visually handicapped, but which is very fortunate from my perspective. But you're not totally blind, are you?
No. In fact, it's interesting you say that because I forgot there actually was visually handicapped for a while in Ireland as well. No, I am registered blind, so I have about 20% of normal or full vision. But to be honest, it seems quite normal to me because it's all I've ever known. I've had this vision quite constant since I was about the age of 4.
So let's talk about the services in Ireland. I mean, we hear quite a lot about the UK, but certainly in my experience, we've never heard about what happens in Ireland. What is the situation with services for blind and partially sighted people or vision impaired people in Ireland?
It's kind of, you know, it's strange. I think if you grew up with a visual impairment or were blind in Ireland, you find that you don't avail of the services very often because you figured a lot of it out. So what I find is that a lot of people who acquire sight loss in mid or older life, they tend to be the primary users of services from the National Council for the Blind, who would provide retraining, rehab. They provide library services, you know, with audio and braille books particularly, mainly Irish generated or material from the Library of Congress or from the RNIB. Although that has become a lot more difficult since those services have gone digital. And I do know quite a few of my Irish blind and visually impaired friends who have UK addresses with relatives, so they can avail directly of the RNIB services because of the things have become much tighter around getting material in a digital format. It was actually much easier when it was Braille and it was audio cassette.
That's really surprising, isn't it? Because it's so much easier to copy or transfer digital material from one place to another. I mean, you can do so without even leaving your desk chair, whereas with the old cassettes and even as far back as the old records that that used to be used, you literally had to post them from one country to another.
Yes, but In some ways, I think the systems have become, the digital systems have become a lot more preparatory, and there seems to be a kind of a more of a division of labour, and therefore a division of who gets the service from country to country. So it's almost like the borders have tightened rather than loosened in my experience in recent years. And of course, what's added to that now is that there's a whole lot of other digital material that you don't need to avail of through the services anyway, that you can get yourself. And interestingly, NCBI in recent years have, that's about 2 years now, I think, have introduced a small charge for use of their library service, which wasn't the case until then.
I think that happens here too. Vision Australia now charge for the use of their players.
Yeah.
They don't charge as such for the library service, but for if you want to use one of their audio players, and there are several, there is a small charge for those.
So what other things that NCBI would provide is they would provide advice and support around acquiring a computer equipment and software, and they also sell some of that equipment and software as well, and they would provide a range of advice services and also some support around glasses, low vision aids, and other things like that for visually impaired people.
What about guide dog and mobility services?
Yeah, we have guide dogs for the blind, and they would provide mobility services as well, and in fact actually NCBI would provide mobility services too, and so while yes, there is a waiting list for guide dogs, it is something that if somebody needs a guide dog, they can actually get one and be trained and be supported in Ireland.
So the NCBI, is that the only service for blind and vision impaired people, or are there other organisations that you can go to as well?
There would be other ones, but that would be the main one. I suppose the kind of other organisation that I think of would be the National League of the Blind, and they would be very much more on the leisure, sports and social sort of end of provision. So they would be the other kind of service, and that's more voluntary than it would be a kind of a professional paid service.
As you probably know, this is New Horizons, the national program from Blind Citizens Australia. Blind Citizens Australia is a consumer group. It's an organization of the blind rather than for the blind. Is there such a thing in Ireland?
I was interested in that notion that there was such a thing as a consumer group, because we don't have an equivalent. I think you've a number of forums that visually impaired and blind people would contribute and debate on, but there isn't a consumer type organisation. And in fact, I think there probably is a need, because we very much look in Ireland at the provision of services to visually impaired and blind people, and not necessarily looking at the consumer or user experience. And I think very often that's where the shortcomings in services come up, is around, are they being tailored to the needs and the wants of visually impaired and blind people? It's one of the things I find quite refreshing about going to the United States, where they have a very much a customer and user focus. And in fact, that very much guides how the services are developed, I find, in the United States. Whereas it's not unusual, for example, with something like audio description, which I'm quite familiar with as a visually impaired person, that, it'll be provided, let's say, at an exhibition, but nobody will have actually tested how it works for the user. So in other words, the audio description itself of, let's say, the individual exhibits will be good, but nobody will have gone back to check if that user experience is perfect for the person who's using the service. The one example I think of going to an exhibition that allegedly had 20 exhibits, it only had 19. I couldn't find the 20th exhibit. Of course, thinking it was my visual impairment, I went searching for it to find out the curator had removed it, but in fact nobody had thought to remove the 20th audio track.
Ah, yes. Well, that is a problem, and I think that happens everywhere.
Yeah.
And so how does the lack of a consumer organisation reflect itself in Ireland particularly? So, for example, if you were walking around and you found that there was a new traffic signal, I assume you have audio traffic signals in Ireland?
Yes, we do. And how that might work is that, you know, a lot of the state agencies have set up user groups and kind of they have forums that can feed into them. So, you know, Dublin Airport Authority, there would be, there is a transport group. And so they have different people with disabilities on those groups that would feed into them.
Mm.
And so there is feedback, but very often you just have to complain. And I think Irish people aren't particularly good at that. And our legislation isn't particularly helpful either. In that regard, I know myself in the last decade, I've thought of complaining once and maybe taking a case under equality legislation and then kind of looking at the paperwork involved and kind of going, oh, do you know what? This is too much like trouble. I won't bother. Mm. And very often that's kind of the way it is. But people do, you know, they will very often get on to the National Council for the Blind and complain to them. And actually, the NCBI do have good mechanisms into most state agencies where even unofficially they can try and move things along. And it does happen as a result.
Mm. And we'll continue that really interesting discussion with Porrick next week. If you're living in Queensland, don't forget that the forum is coming up this Saturday, and we hope to see you there. For those of you in New South Wales and Coffs Harbour, in fact, the forum will be next weekend, the 15th of October, and I know that you're all really looking forward to that one. The information about the Tasmanian Forum has now been announced. It will be held on the 5th of November, and it will be held at Criterion House, which is a building attached to Mather's House in Hobart. If you want more information, get in touch with the office. If you're a member in Tasmania, you will be receiving some information shortly in your chosen format. Blind Citizens Australia is the united voice of blind and vision impaired Australians. It's a consumer group and it relies on your donations. So if you feel that you can give something to help the cause, to help Blind Citizens Australia with its efforts on your behalf, whether that's through advocacy or perhaps organising these forums or organising support groups around the country, then feel free to donate to BCA. There's information about how to do that on the website. The website address, of course, is bca.org.au. There's plenty of other information on there as well. Whether you're just learning to deal with blindness or whether you've been blind all your life, there's information there to help you and to get you in touch with other people, perhaps with particular interests or whether they're in the same position as you. So have a look at the BCA website. It's a wealth of interesting information. New Horizons goes out each week on RPH Australia stations around the country and also on community stations throughout Australia. It's available to people outside Australia online through the BCA website as a podcast. If you'd like more information, have a look at the BCA website or get in touch with the office. I'm Vaughan Bennison. It's been a pleasure to have your company on the program this week. Do join us again next week at the same time to hear another edition of New Horizons. If you'd like to get in touch with Blind Citizens Australia, the email address is bca@bca.org.au and the phone number is 1-800-033-660, 1-800-033-660. If you'd like to provide me feedback on the program, new.horizons@bca.org.au. Take care until next week.
We'll achieve the realization of our dreams. Of our dreams.